You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, theatre fans, what's going on? Are you a small business owner or an entrepreneur that just needs a branding design or something like that for a new idea that you're working on? Well, I have a one-stop shop for you. This place will help you get a branding design together, marketing and Instagram templates, right through to digital planning so you can stay on top of all your content and marketing strategies that you have in the works. And that is Simply Creative UK. Morgan is absolutely incredible. I have teamed up with her on a couple of my businesses already, and I'm so excited for her to keep working on refreshing all my brands. I could go on and on, but you guys need to check this out for yourself. So make sure you're going to simplycreativeuk.com right now to find out what Morgan can do for you and your business. Come back, tell me all about your incredible experience, and enjoy this episode. Hey, theatre fans, one and all, welcome back to the We Are Theatre podcast. And today we are talking about a new show coming to you folks over in the UK. I'm joined by Alex Phelps at the moment, soon to be joined by Will Barton. Alex, hey, how are you going?
I'm going very well. How are you, Josh? You're right.
I am really excited to talk about this show. I've been watching the preview video, the teaser video over and over again. And it's just really grabbed my attention, and I'm like really ready to rip the band-aid off and find out what's actually going on. So for those of you that haven't figured it out already, we are talking about When Darkness Falls, which is opening later this month at the Park Theatre. Alex, do you want to give us a quick insight into your character for this show?
Yeah, of course. So I play a character called The Speaker, and he arrives on the island of Guernsey, where the play is set, which is just a small island in the Channel Islands of the UK and not too far from France either. And he arrives on the island with five stories that he has to tell. And I don't want to give too much away about the reasoning why he has to tell these stories, but ostensibly the entire play is a ghost story and contains within it all the wonderful elements of thriller and horror and some comedy as well. So it's combining all things as we go. Ostensibly the speaker is a storyteller. Yeah.
How good is that? So for ghost stories and everything like that, how much research did you put into, your character, and how did you research this type of thing, to kind of figure out how to portray this?
Yeah. So, research wise, I've done from my point of view, looking at my character, I've done an awful lot sorry, Will has just arrived, by the way. Will has popped in. I looked into a lot of storytellers and how you go about approaching a story. If we think, going back way back in time, of how you would just gather around a campfire and people would tell not just necessarily scary stories, but stories of about all different types of things and the ways you can use the language to really enrich and activate the audience's imagination. What's really wonderful about the play is that it relies on a lot of simplicity within its theatrical nature. So therefore, we ask the audience to join us as we try to describe to them the elements of what is happening within the stories within the play. I hope that makes sense.
100% made sense. And I'm just reading through the website at the moment and seeing 90 minutes, one act. What type of roller coaster can people expect going into this show?
I think you can expect everything. It's one of the wonderful things about it is that it contains a few jumpy bits, a few moments of unexpected scares. You're going to be on the ride. I mean, we've sort of been looking at all different types of plays that have contained similar elements to it. So you have Andy Nyman's Ghost Stories, which has obviously been made into an incredible film. You think about Woman in Black and the simplicity of that storytelling there. Yeah. And it always centers around the characters within it. So the characters are driven by very clear motivations, which allows the audience to get on the roller coaster with us. And we're going to be going up and down, around, loop-de-loop, you name it.
I'm reading all the
creative team notes, and I'm seeing magic and illusion. So I'm kind of excited to see what pops up on stage and how things are portrayed and give that kind of ghost feel.
We're absolutely blessed in a way to have an incredible magician called John Bullied, who is the magician's assistant on Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Oh, perfect.
He's done a lot of Doctor Who. He's currently working on the RSC's production, trying to make an elephant disappear in less than 2 seconds. And he's the mastermind behind all of the illusions and the magic that happened in our show. And the beauty of it starting out in the Park Theatre is that we're in a very closed, intimate space.
Yeah.
And so the illusions that come across happen right in front of the audience's eyes. And there's no escaping the things that happen to them. And it's really wonderfully worked out so that we're able to take you into the world. And the magic is so solid to just enable the audience to use their imaginations. Yeah,
I love that. Just while we're waiting for Will to jump in, rehearsing this show, were you guys affected by COVID at all, or was this a post-COVID kind of production for you guys?
Well, what's funny is that we started, the conversations were started in January 2020, which is when I did a research and development with the team behind the show at the moment. Cool. And we were originally meant to, obviously had the world not... one thing and another, had the world not stopped rotating, then I imagine it would have gone on last year. But we were due to open at a different theatre in October last year, and then we had the announcement that we would be locked down again. So we were hit by that. And then there was an original plan to maybe open in January, February this year, but we had another lockdown.
Yeah.
And so slowly theatres have come back open, and now we're able to take that step. But the theatre is working in a socially distanced way. We're at 60% capacity so that the audience feels safe, because it is an intimate theatre. Yeah. It's important that we still maintain that social distancing level. And in rehearsals, we're trying to be as safe as possible with it as well.
Yeah, perfect. And we've just had Will join us. Hi, Will. How are you going?
Hi. Sorry about that. My bicycle chain came off on the way, so I've got oil all over my fingers. Hi.
Real world things. Guys, this is what we're showing. Will, do you just want to quickly run us through your character in the show?
Sure, yeah. I play John Blondell. He's from Guernsey. And... sorry, it's repeating me this now. And he's a historian who was a journalist. He's got his own blog. He's a bit nerdy, a bit geeky. And he's possibly haunted by things from the past. And it's all about the connection with the speaker who comes in to see him and what develops from there. Without giving too much away.
That is so good. So getting to obviously sit with this script over time, with lockdowns and things supposed to happen and not, has your kind of interpretation of the text evolved during that time, going from rehearsal period to rehearsal period? Like, have you guys found different things through this period of time?
No, that's a difficult one to ask, because each time we were about to start, it was stopped because of COVID.
Yeah.
So the only new lines, new scenes have come since we started rehearsing, actually. The stranger who comes in is a bit weird, and I had this idea, but I'm not sure we're going to do it, where I go to shake his hand, it says in the script, he doesn't shake my hand, and then maybe my character thinks, he does the arm, the elbow to elbow. I think, but then he doesn't do that as well. So we're not sure if that's going in yet, because he is a bit unnerving, this character. But other than that, we're trying to avoid COVID because, you know, people have had enough of it, aren't they? So yeah. We want a bit of escapism, an amazing ghost story, something that's chilling, something that's funny and then scary. It's getting those juxtapositions of humour and fear.
Yeah. As kind of... literary people and people that take in art, on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you guys sit in the horror thriller kind of genre? Is it something you would lean more towards, or is this something out of both of your depths?
Well, this is the first time I've ever been involved in a horror theater show. In fact, I don't think even on TV I've done anything with horror, so this is completely new to me. And Alex, is someone that says he jumps at anything. He's the one that's supposed to be making me jump in this. So let's hope he doesn't get too scared as he's doing it. But it's pretty chilling, I think. And it, there will be screams from the audience, we anticipate, as visions suddenly appear from absolutely nowhere, thanks to John Bullitt's amazing work, misdirection, things falling over just when you're not expecting it. We go to sort of having a really casual conversation, then out of that comes something really, really unexpected. Yeah. So, move over, woman in black, when darkness falls is on its way.
Being 2 weeks out from opening, obviously with the last year behind us, what are you guys looking forward to most about having people in front of you and being able to perform this show to a live audience?
Go on, Alex.
I think that, I mean, just the fact that we're able to say that we're in a building full of creative people who are all working towards building this incredible show to hopefully provoke a reaction from the audience is just wonderful, isn't it? I mean, the idea that theatres and entertainment venues have been closed for the past 18, 19 months, year and a half, where there hasn't been that outlet of expression and escapism that's probably so needed at the moment. It's just going to be fantastic. I don't think I've fully appreciated or anticipated the reaction of walking onto a stage and having people in the space with us. I haven't given that too much thought. I think possibly if I did, it'd be a little bit too overwhelming and I might get a bit teary because I have missed theatre. It's been a part of my life for a long time, and I think it's going to be just really lovely to have a huge amount of people all come together to experience stories. And I think, I mean, underneath it all, the play ultimately, if you get rid of all of the spooks and the scares and the jumps, it is a love letter to writing and about writing and telling stories. So it will be lovely. Yeah.
On the website, I've got it up in front of me right now, and scrolling along the top is a line that I read and it just instantly hit me. History is a set of lies agreed upon. Is this a theme throughout the show? Is this something that we unravel, or is that just...
I think it's our interpretation of our own personal histories rather than making any political... It's not making a political statement, really, I don't think, or the writer might disagree. But for me, it's about our interpretation of events that have gone in the past, what we admit to, what we regret, what we deny. And so it's up my history, his history, where they collide, the interpretations of that, who's at fault, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Breaking down the text, obviously going with that mindset, has there been a lot of like personal revelation as actors going through this process and getting into the characters?
Oh. Over to you, Alex.
I knew you were going to do that, Will. I knew you were going to do that. Has there been? I think, I mean, like Will, I've never been involved in any kind of horror or thriller. So this is a completely unique experience for me as well. We're both learning as we go. And I am, by my nature, incredibly jumpy. I jump at anything. We were in rehearsals yesterday and I have a briefcase and I opened the pops of the briefcase and it made me jump. I just think, oh God, how silly. But in terms of where the character is from, I think that I have learned an awful... My character is from the island of Sark, which is a neighboring island, and it's 3 miles by 1.5 miles. It's tiny, the island, and only 600 people live on it in 2021. But back in 1987, something happens to my character, without trying to give too much away, he's a very isolated person and he's very on his own. And I suppose you could take that into the context of what we've all just gone through as a collective, that kind of isolating, quarantined world.
Yeah.
It's just really interesting to think about to take what we have just gone through in the past year and inject it back into my character's past and try to interpret and use that in the present.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answers your question. I may have just 100% rambled completely.
That's completely fine. Getting into a room together, being this scene partner cast, just the two of you, and getting to discover that dynamic in a creative environment after such a long time away from things. What was that like for you guys to just be able to be creative and be in a room and let loose?
It's been great, but you know, we're a week and a half into rehearsals. We've got kind of 2 weeks to go. It's fantastic, but it's scary again. It's a two-hander. There's so much logistics, almost choreography in places where you've got to be in the right position for things that are going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's merging all that. And it's kind of exciting, but a bit like the horror story, scary. We've got so much to do. We're on our way. It's very exciting. If it all comes together, it's going to be great. We just need to make sure it does come together. And, you know, and this will be a great way of coming back into theatre. Hopefully unforgettable.
Yes, yeah. It's lovely it's just lovely to be sharing a space again and being able to do our job, which is to try and, I hope, provide a bit of escapism for everybody that comes to see it.
Yeah. Speaking of those people coming to see it, we've spoken about horror and the jumps and the scares and everything like that. For those people that would turn away from this type of show, what would be your words of encouragement to get those people across the line just to come and see the show and give it a go?
They're already booking, so it's looking good at the moment. The theatre's only selling 60% tickets at the moment. We hope they may well, as we hit the peak in the second week of August, over the peak and come back, that they may be able to release some more tickets. But at the moment, it seems to be selling pretty well. So there's certainly enough people that want to come. But I would never say to somebody, you know, it's not for me to decide on whether people, you know, with COVID are worried, how worried they are, what their situation is, who they're in touch with. It's got to be that personal choice, I think, in the end. It comes down to personal choice. And I think we'll be all right with the audience.
I agree. But I also think that for those people who might not necessarily want to experience the jumps and the scares that we're talking about, I think that ultimately the play lives on the strength of the writing and the stories that are being told within the writing. Yeah. And, you know, really it's just gathering a group of people together and we tell them some tales and hopefully they can come along with that and enjoy it and enjoy the comedy moments in it and the fun. Join in the fun.
Yeah. I'm just reading on the website that the stories, many of which are based on true events. Is that true events as per your character, or is it true events in real world?
It's historical events to do with the Nazis' occupation of Guernsey and things like that. Our characters aren't true, but there was a great storm in 1987 in England, which was it was quite funny at the time. There was this weather forecaster called Michael Fish, who was said, I've had a little letter from a woman in so-and-so, I can't remember where she lived, saying that she's heard there's a storm coming on the way. Well, there isn't. This is on TV, says it. And then, lo and behold, trees uprooted, roofs taken off. She was right. The meteorologist on TV was completely wrong. So so there are events like that that are historical, that are relevant to the play.
Yeah.
Great storms. I mean, the 1987 storm was unbelievable, which I remember. And seeing the trees across the road and the roofs off, and then historical things to do with the island, which are true, and Nazi occupation.
Cool. So there's a bit of everything in it for anyone. The history people that love that history side of things, the jump scare, just the theatre lovers at all. So it sounds like a very well-rounded show, and I wish I could fly because, oh my God, it sounds amazing. Now, the show is open for 2 weeks. Is it 2 weeks? Yeah, 2 weeks in the Park Theatre and then is setting out on a UK tour. So everyone around can get a hold of it. As actors and getting to see this show before everybody else does, without giving too much away, what are your favourite parts of the show? Hard one.
Good question.
I really like the, I like the, well, for me, I like the opening. I can get relaxed and get in, and then have the arrival out of the blue of this chap who comes to join me, because it suddenly changes. So I love that change of dynamic from me being kind of pretty relaxed and chilled and kind of funny and light to this guy coming in and changing the atmosphere of the room. And I remember from drama school, we had an exercise where you have to go in and change the atmosphere of the room, you know, in any way that we can, whether it's through laughter or, you know, whatever. But yes, so that changes. Then we've got so many different stories and threads where we're different characters, and then coming back to ourselves. But there's so many great bits. Once the show's up and running.
I agree. I like the opening as well. I love watching Will make everybody laugh. It's really lovely. I almost don't want to come in because I just want the play to exist in this really lovely world.
but then there's no story. It needs you to disrupt my life, Alex.
No, you could just come on. You've got the one man show in your pocket. You could do it. I'd watch it.
It's going to be a different show by the time you guys see it in 2 weeks.
It really will be, yeah.
Amazing. Well, guys, that pretty much wraps us up for this episode. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm really excited to chat more eventually about this show, and once things are up and running and we can reveal a little bit more once people have seen it, that would be fantastic. But obviously, this show is on, guys, at the Park Theatre from August 18th to September 4th. Tickets are available now on whendarknessfalls.co.uk. Go check that out for all the information, or you can go to the Park Theatre's website. Is there anything I missed, guys, or anything you guys want to add in for the listeners at home?
Thank you for listening. How wonderful to be back listening to a podcast about theatre that's actually going to happen, isn't it great? Right.
So good to be talking about theatre that's going to be happening. Exactly. As well. Like, before we wrap up, let's go down another segue. Theatre opening up. Is this your first experience of theatre being back, or have you guys been out and being able to see shows since things have been back up and running?
It's my first one. Yes, I stopped just before I was doing a tour playing Boris Johnson of all people, just before, playing him. That was just before we stopped. I had tiny bits since then and jobs cancelled, and then this stopped twice. So this is the first theatre since COVID lockdown in March of 2020.
And Alex?
Yes, I was doing a show which came to an end on March the 15th, 2020, and then on March the 16th, all the theatres closed and shut down. So this is my first one performing back, and all of the nerves that come with that. But it's not the first show I got to see Ian McKellen play Hamlet in Windsor a couple of weeks ago, which was very lovely.
Jealous. That sounds
amazing. Yeah, it was incredible.
Well, guys, if we haven't sold you yet, make sure you check out the website for more info. I will be posting about it on all the social medias, so make sure you're checking out We Are Theatre. Check out Park Theatres as well. That's where everything's going on here. And make sure you get your tickets to see these guys, because this sounds like an absolutely fantastic show. And go for me, because I can't be there, which sucks. But that's okay. That is life right now. Alex, Will, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next week with a brand new episode of the We Are Theatre podcast. Bye.
Whoop, whoop.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.